accession number 18459, Reel 2.
That's Reel 2. You're saying you got some kind of help from the Americans?
Yeah, the Poeta planes are coming over, rockets and napalm, which kept the Chinese quite occupied for a little while. But there were so many of them that they couldn't even keep them down.
This was on the march north, was it?
No, and that was in the...
In the battle?
In the battle, yeah. The march north, well... The first month, I should say, we marched at night time, and we got to a place where we stayed for a week. I don't know where it was. They called it Halfway House. Then we carried on.
What was it like at Halfway House?
I think that's the first place we had rice. And before that we've been having boiled millet, a sorghum, boiled, if you know what that is.
Yes.
I never did find out what it was really. small quantities. And we did have some boiled rice in the rest camp. But, well, I think we needed that rest. Because we've all, not just physically, but mentally drained.
Were you with Major Farrell Hockley on this march?
He was captain then, wasn't he?
Captain.
I was with him for a little while because I had a bit of shrapnel in my foot, and he had tried to escape, and they made him walk quite a way with no shoes on, so that he was unable to walk properly. And I had a few days with Farrell Hockley, and then I went back with the rest of them.
Did you get any treatment for your shrapnel wound?
Only from a British medical corporal. And it's only a small piece of shrapnel, but it's enough to sort of be uncomfortable.
In your foot?
Yes.
Okay. Did it heal up?
Yes, yeah. Eventually.
Anything else happened to you on the march north?
No.
Where did you eventually arrive at?
Choksong, number one POW camp, which is not very far from the Yellow River.
What was that like?
A Korean village. It's been taken over and not really converted, but we was at the first time we were sleeping about 10 in a room, which was about 7'6" by 9'. We were sleeping head to tail on the floor. A blanket between three. The food wasn't very good. I'd say the food was livable, but there were Americans in the camp when we got there. They were in a very bad way, so they'd been really neglected. You know, they couldn't stomach the food that we could. More or less every day there were There was a hill back which we called Boot Hill. We would see the Americans taking up, and so many of their comrades had died. Sometimes we think, well, are they coming back as well? Because they look as bad. You've seen Belsen people. I've seen people like that.
So it was Boot Hill, the cemetery?
Yeah, that's right. They took them and buried them. Most of the British survived. I know there was a few died through bury or something like.
Did you fall sick yourself?
I think everyone fell sick to a certain extent. Had the runs and nothing to pass. And then about a month after we were in the camp, the peace talk started, and I think they realised that we would be part of the propaganda, and things did gradually improve, not to a big extent, but enough to keep us fairly fit.
In what way did conditions improve slightly?
Well, the food gradually got a touch better. We had meat, like 6 chickens between 600. Pork, and cake. Kill a pig in the morning, you'd eat it in the afternoon before it properly died. The salt fish.
How were the guards behaving towards you?
Well, I think the guards were quite reasonable, really. Some of the interpreters, some were quite nice and some were horrible, but we had the lectures every morning, early in the morning, and the camp commandant, he liked to have his say in Chinese, and when the interpreters would get up and repeat it all in English, the joys of communism, which we, and then go away and write what you've learnt. They would usually write something like a load of rubbish that they would think was good.
Do you think the propaganda lectures had any effect?
I'm sure they didn't. No.
Did they talk any kind of sense? Did they talk any kind of sense?
Well, we didn't think so, no.
Did you ever get punished in the camp?
I didn't, but quite a few. So they had a case, what they call a lenient policy. And if you... they made you do a self-confession if you'd done anything they thought was wrong. As long as you've done that, you got away fairly light. You had to stand up in front of everyone and say what a bad boy you've been, and you wouldn't do it again.
Did you ever have to do that?
No. I kept quiet. I think I was a case of, if you keep out of the way, get it over with, get home.
And did you have any visitors from the outside?
Oh, yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. I forgot that. A few reporters from a Daily Worker, Adam Winnington. Which I went, an Australian, I can't remember his name.
Birches?
That's it, yes. Mm-hmm. And they got sort of little nooses dangled at them from the people, from the POWs. And tell us what it was like. I don't know what they tried to prove. We never had any Red Cross. I think the Red Cross came as we were coming home.
Did you get any news from home?
Yeah, through the Daily Worker. We used to have a Daily Worker there occasionally, well, out of date, of course, but that's the only paper we had. Oh, and the Shanghai Times.
What type of news did you gather from those?
Football results. We used to like reading the Daily Worker, because we knew what it was like in England and what they were trying to. Right there was absolutely nonsense, but they did have a bit of sporting occasionally.
Did you ever think that you might not make it back?
I don't think you can ever think that. No. I don't think you that would pass through your mind.
So you didn't despair?
No.
Did they keep you in Choksong the whole time?
Yes, I was in the same camp. Oh, we had a loudspeaker system, which used to keep us in touch with the peace of Panmunjom and Kaesong news. Which usually was Americans are holding up the peace talks one way or another. Still propaganda. And we usually knew if it went quiet, there was something happening that they didn't want us to know.
Did anybody ever think of escape?
Quite a few tried. But we were the wrong shape, wrong colour. And I don't think you could live off the land. I'm too far from anywhere.
Did you make any friends from amongst the other nationalities of POW?
No, not unless you call the Irish other nationalities. You know, with quite a few Royal Ulster Rifles. You got on quite well with those.
Did you get any letters from home?
Yes. I wouldn't say they were frequent, but we did. I think it was the ones they wanted us to reach,
Did you learn anything from the letters?
Did I?
Learn anything from the letters?
Well, only that family was well, nothing, they couldn't put anything in, like peace talks and anything, because they would have been censored. Or we just wouldn't have got them.
Did you learn about the coronation?
Yes, yeah. I don't know where we heard it from, but we heard it.
And the death of George VI?
Yes, we heard about the death of Joseph Stalin too, and Johnny didn't like the way we celebrated that.
How did you celebrate it?
I went in. I don't know, we were sort of... We were quite happy about it and we were talking about it, I think, and they didn't like it.
So, how did you come to be released?
Well, they finally come to this agreement. That they were going to stop fighting, release the POWs. But there were a few released earlier that were pretty badly wounded. But I was one of the first ones to be released on a normal basis after they'd signed the armistice. They trucked us back down to Pam and John. Yeah. And what I remember down there, when we passed over to the other side, there was an English officer who was handing out his packet of players. Yeah, I was thinking about lads. And then the Yanks would come round and have a carton.
Did you smoke?
I did, yes.
How did you feel like when you were released?
Happy. No, relieved, I suppose. Relieved it's over. I mean.
Did your imprisonment leave you with any long-term effects?
Oh, it did, yes. I still had dreams now, at times. So.
You mean nightmares about it?
Yeah.
About the fighting or the imprisonment?
The imprisonment mainly, yeah. I used to dream that the Chinese coming to Reading and pick me up and say, well, you've got to come back.
What opinion of the Chinese and the communists did your imprisonment leave you with?
This may be controversial, but I think the Chinese had a right to come into the Korean War. They were being threatened by the United Nations troops going right up to the Chinese border. And if we had stopped on the 38th parallel when we went back up, the war would have been over long before.
And communism? Did it leave you with an opinion about communism?
No, let me cold. I think the Chinese as a race are quite reasonable people. I've got no grudge against the Chinese. Maybe the North Koreans, what I heard of those. I didn't have a lot to do with North Koreans, but...
How do you feel now about having served in the Korean War?
Well, I suppose in a way I'm making the most of it.
In what sense? In what sense?
Well, as I say, I got invited to Buckingham Palace on the United Nations 50th anniversary. What else have we done? We revisited Korea. Went to the amalgamation of the Gloucester Barks and Wilkes Regiment.
But, Has your health suffered as a consequence of being in the Korean War?
Oh, I think so, yes. Pet subject of mine is DDT. Most of the people in Korea were doused in DDT, and since then it's been proved that DDT is a fatal element. And I think that has got to a lot of people. Also, I'm suffering from osteoarthritis in my back, which I put down to being out there, sleeping on cold and damp grains.
What effect do you think DDT might have had on you?
I'll get to you inside. I don't know what I might do. But
have you had any symptoms which might be a result of it?
Well, I suffer from bronchitis nearly every year. And chest is not good. Oh, my heart, well, I don't suppose there's anything to do with it. I have to go in for a heart triple bypass shortly, whenever they call me. Nerves, yeah. Nerves are not all that good at. I think that's about that. After I was captured, my mother had a telegram. I was missing, presumed dead. But after that, she had a dream. And she said, woke up in the morning and said, he's alive. I saw him marching in my sleep. So she must have had a premonition at a time I was still marching, I suppose.